As we begin this last session of Science and the Bible, we're at ABCs of Evolution Part 2, talking about where are the missing links. The thing is, the whole point of this series, is not to disprove evolution. The whole point of this series is to prove and illustrate the reliability of the Holy Scriptures in everything. And if it steps on the toes of evolution, so be it. So be it. And that's what we're going to be looking at in particular tonight. The Bible is accurate in everything it touches, including the things of science and history. If we cannot believe the Bible in these things, whether it's the things that it touches in science or in history, why should we believe the Bible when it talks about the things of God and the things that are holy and the things that are above and the things considering the wondrous gift of salvation itself? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. This is a familiar passage. But it reads, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, the thing is, we put the Bible aside and we pull it up when it's convenient, when we have a Sunday school lesson. But it's useful for everything to equip us for every good work. All of Scripture is from God, and we can trust the Bible in all things, including the recorded account of creation. Today, it's politically incorrect to attribute anything to God. But then again, God never claimed to be or even attempted to be politically correct in the eyes of man. But when we're asking about the Word of God is whether or not it's politically correct or not, it's the wrong question. The question we should be asking is, are we correct in God's eyes, not in the eyes of the world? But current culture, the current political climate has wholeheartedly disregarded the things of God, even the mere existence of God, as well as His written Word, His revelation of Himself to us in the Bible. So as far as what is politically correct, what is right in the eyes of the world, this is what the Bible has to say, and this will be more or less our theme verse tonight. What it says, and Paul wrote in Romans 1, verses 22 and 23, he said, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. The world loves the creation, not the Creator. In the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God are worlds apart. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Also, the Scripture tells us, and we covered this morning, it tells us that man was made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him. Male and female, He created them. I don't see any apes in there or monkeys in there. We weren't created in the image of a monkey. We didn't evolve. So to say for science to come and look you in the face and to say that we have evolved from a lower life form is a slap in the face to Almighty God. For that matter, to say that we're anything but male and female, which we were born, is a slap in the face of God. And you know, in today's climate, you can declare yourself to be male, female, or somewhere in between, or none of the above. You know, in several states, you're authorized to put X on your driver's license now. They're starting to drop what the sex of a child is on the birth certificates, or you can change your birth certificates. That's got to be a slap in the face to God. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. When we come to evolution, either evolution is true and the Bible is false, or the Bible is true and evolution is false. It cannot be both. There's even some out there that talk about theistic evolution. God controlled evolution. Well, it still makes the Bible a lie. It still makes Bible a lie. And theistic evolution is heresy. Evolution tells us that the timeline in the Bible is a lie. I still got the book up out here, and you're welcome to come look at it. But understand, the Bible gives us a timeline. But evolution tells us that none of this is true. If evolution is true, then Adam and Eve are fictional people. They are put into the Bible as an allegory or a metaphor. But isn't it interesting that even Jesus talks about Adam and Eve as real people? He does not treat them as fictional characters. But what have we been taught in school? Right from elementary school, especially in the time frame since World War II, we have been taught millions and billions of years of time in evolution. Now, this next picture shows a typical monkey the man chart that is the supposed evolution of man as presented in many popular books on natural history. The first creature is an ape-like creature, and the last creature is a human-like being. And they have names for all of these. The first four creatures are supposedly ape men that gradually became more upright and human-like over millions of years. I think the current talk is 3 to 4 million years, humans evolved. That is what's being taught. And the picture gives the impression that evolutionists have found the clear fossil evidence of ape men. It also gives the impression that it's easy for an ape-like creature to gradually change into a human being. At first glance, this chart may seem convincing, but in reality, this chart is clearly a deception. The first and second creatures, and don't hold me to the pronunciation of these names, and I know this is an eye test on here, but the first creature is the Rampitheliacus, and the second one is the Australopithecus. Which, by the way, the second one is Lucy, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. They are just simply extinct types of quadrupled apes. Quadruple means you walk around on all fours. They're just simply extinct type of apes and not an upright ape man in any way. The third and fourth creatures, Homo habilis, which if you care to look it up, this sometimes refers to the 1470 man, but he is a man, and Homo erectus, they are fully human. Don't believe the pictures. Understand the name. They've been given the name of Homo, which means human. And understand how the pictures are made. They take a picture of a skeleton, and an artist will fill in muscle, flesh, and over the skeletons, and they cover it up with hair. They give it an elongated mouth and perhaps a sloped forehead, and they say, this is an ape man. And so the illusion is there. By falsely picturing those first two, as being bipedal. Bipedal means walks on two legs. And falsely given Homo habilis and Homo erectus crude features, the impression is given that man has evolved. This is a picture. This is an artist's conception. And the way the diagram shows a four-legged creature becoming more upright is based purely on imagination and not fact. In fact, it has already been shown that it is not possible for a quadruped, thank you, Ellen, a quadruped to gradually change into a biped. Those that walk on all fours cannot walk on twos. That doesn't mean they can't prance around on twos. I mean, we got a dog at home that will prance around on two legs, but he doesn't stay that way. Okay. Some people refer to the biblical creation account of some sort of mystical tale. But in reality, it is this monkey the man chart that is the mystical tale. If man had evolved over millions of years, there would be an enormous amount of fossil evidence showing how man had gradually changed from a primitive creature to a human being. However, especially over the last 200 plus years of intensive searching, no credible fossil evidence has been found illustrating any such evolution. There are a few fossils that claim to belong to ape men, but these are either fully ape or they are fully human. There is no in between. There is such a lack of evidence for ape men that the term missing link has become famous and fashionable in the English language. And when we consider all the changes that must take place for an ape to change into a human, we're not just simply missing a link, we're missing links. We are missing the whole chain. The whole chain is missing. Not only should evolutionism be rejected on logical grounds, but for theological reasons as well. H.G. Wells, which was an atheist, by the way, stated in Outlines of History, and let me quote this, he said, "If all animals and man evolved, then there were no first parents, Adam and Eve, if you will, no paradise, no fall. And if there had been no fall, then the entire historical fabric of Christianity, the story of the first sin, and the reason for the atonement," and we talked about that this morning, the whole reason that Jesus came. You see, all of it, he said, the reason for the atonement collapses like a house of cards. You see, if any of evolution is true, then all of Christianity is false. Let me repeat that. If any of evolution is true, then all of Christianity is false. And right now, when all the evidence is considered, the cards are stacked against evolution. But people clearly choose to believe what has been clearly shown to be false. That brings us back to Romans 1:22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. People can't reckon themselves with the existence of a God. So, and we talked about this on our first session. They know about evolution and spontaneous life being false, but they choose to believe the impossible because they cannot choose to believe in a creator. 1 Corinthians 1:20-21 says, "Where's the wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world thought wisdom did not know God, and it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Who believe. Let's talk about some of the evidence that's out there. Let's talk about Lucy, that ape woman, Lucy. There's a picture of the skeleton there. Lucy is a 3.5-foot adult skeleton dated. They dated it at 3.2 million years ago. And she looks just like the skeleton of a modern chimpanzee. And she weighed about 50 pounds. And you can see where she fit on that on the table that we had up earlier, and it says Lucy comes from a family of Australopithecines. Some big long scientific words, so don't hold me to the pronunciation here. But you see, a famous American anthropologist, Donald Carl Johansson, found some bone fragments, 40%, that you see up here on the left, 40% of a complete skeleton in the Afar area of Ethiopia in 1975. And you see, the skeleton got its name Lucy because at the time of discovery, Johansson and his team was listening to a Beatles song on the radio, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. You remember that one? That's how Lucy got its name, by the way. That's how it's got its name. And Johansson declared these bone fragments homo. He says, I'm going to call them human. And this, and you see, 4 years later, he announced to the world that Lucy's bones were actually those of the most primitive species related to man. You see, the story of Johansson's new discovery, when it hit the news in Time magazine, in fact, you can go back to Time magazine of January 29th of 79, it is where it first hit the newsstand. It was on the cover, and it provided its report with its usual bias. It said the reason it got all the attention was because Johansson's statement that 3.2 million years ago, Lucy walked upright like a man. Why 3.2 million years? Because it fit. Not because they did any test. Remember what we talked about radiometric dating before we got into it? Well, the rocks are 3.2 million years old because the skeleton must be 3.2 million years. And the skeleton must be 3.2 million years because the rocks are 3.2. You know, it's a circular reasoning. It fit in their timeline. It fit. And that's, they said, well, it has to be 3.2 because we got a blank spot right here, and it fits in our timeline. Suddenly, there was a new definition of man, any creature who could walk upright. Although he admitted that from the neck up, Lucy was an ape. She had the jaws, teeth, face, brain of an ape. He maintained that Lucy walked upright like a human. Therefore, she was on her way to becoming a man, or should I say, she was a woman, okay? Now, forget to say that pygmy chimpanzees wanders around the rainforest upright all the time. There are some chimpanzees that do walk upright most of the time. And actually, the only features of Lucy that even hinted that she walked with an upright and an erect posture is her knee joints. You see, human knee joints, in fact, when we look at the knees is a very intricate connection of a couple of bones here. They're not like any others. And because we all walk upright, it's of unique construction. That's why we have, there's a lot of complexity in knee replacements. It's not that simple. So you can walk upright. And I know we got a few people with new knees, and we get them all the time. But it's interesting when we look at the knees of Lucy, because one thing that's kind of left out of the history books or left out of the anthropology books is the fact that when they found Lucy's knees, they found them 2 miles away, 400 feet deeper. So apparently when Lucy died, the knees got up and walked away someplace. They also found her footprints about 1,000 miles away. They said, because of these footprints, this proves Lucy. But you see, you these details aren't talked about in the textbooks. These details aren't talked about in the textbooks. You see, if humans had evolved from apes millions of years ago, wouldn't you think there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of missing links in transitional forms between man and apes? Isn't it strange that after over 100, 200 years of searching for fossils of such creatures, that they have been unable to find any but a couple of fragments that are on the chart, such as this, as possible suspects? You see, all the fossils that have been found are either been 100% ape or 100% human or 100% fraud. Hang on to that for a second. there have been absolutely no in-between creatures have been found. And this is becoming painfully obvious. Even that evolutionists are changing their tune a little bit. They said it's not like there's a gradual change. There had to be a quantum leap. And so there were massive changes that happened all at once. Well, because of the lack of the transitional forms or any other in-between forms, this godless theory had emerged. Well, it had to happen all at once. Let's look at another one. Let's look at one called the Piltdown Man. The Piltdown Man. This is probably one of the more embarrassing episodes for evolutionists. It was in 1912 that the Natural History of Museum in London announced that they discovered the Piltdown Man. The Piltdown Man was discovered by Dr. Charles Dawson near Piltdown, England, hence the name, Piltdown Man. And the Piltdown Man consisted of a human-looking skull cap and an ape-looking jawbone. And it was declared to be an ape man and was presented to the public as proof of man's evolution. When you look at this, at the colored, the dark bone on the bottom and the colored skull caps, those are the fragments that were found. All that was white is what some artist thinks they filled in with plaster of Paris, okay? And so it was molded, and they're saying this is what the rest of it looked like, supposedly. And over a period of 40 years, hundreds of academic papers were written on the Piltdown Man. Over 500 PhDs were awarded based upon dissertations, papers, if you will, written about the Piltdown Man. In 1953, however, some scientists proved that the Piltdown Man was a hoax. The teeth had been filed, the bones had been stained to make them look old. The Piltdown Man showed how easy it is for scientists to fabricate evidence and how easy it is for scientists to become fooled. Another example in the fraud in the world of evolutionary science was the Nebraska Man. You've heard of the Nebraska Man. The Nebraska Man was based upon a tooth found in 1922 in Nebraska, okay? And it was used as evidence in 1925 in the Scopes monkey trials. You remember hearing about that, the Scopes monkey trial? Because some teacher was teaching about evolution, and they came down saying there's a law against that, and there was a big trial set up. It was in Tennessee. And in fact, a well-known personality at the time, William Jennings Bryan, he was a three-time presidential candidate. He was the prosecutor and an ardent defendant of Christianity. Anybody ever see that movie? It came out in the early 60s, I believe. It was called Inherit the Wind. It was kind of a fictional account of that trial, and Bryant was made to look like the fool in the movie. But after and after all was said and done, and after the trial was put away, it was made known later on that this missing link of the Nebraska Man was nothing more than a filed down pig's tooth. Actually, it was an ancient or an extinct form of pig, but it was a filed down pig's tooth. It was another hoax. You see, scientists are so eager to find something that will prove their theories, they'll jump right after anything that is found, and the believing public with them. That's not to say anything about the fame and fortune and the big dollar research grants you get if you claim that you found the missing link. And there's lots of money involved. Lots of money and tenureship in universities and all kinds of things associated with it. But you see, these aren't true scientists. You know, they say, well, this fits. This fits. And so we're going to move ahead with this. So let's get to basics here for just a second. Let's look at the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution. Some people have suggested that the theory of evolution can be extended to provide a complete answer to the origin of all life. And you see, the purpose of it is to replace any need for God. Now, I want us to kind of think back for a second, back to session one, back in September. We talked about Richard Dawkins. He was quoted to say that Darwin made it possible to be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. That's what evolution does. We can be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. But Richard Dawkins and many of the so-called scientists choose to overlook some very fundamental questions. So before we accept this theory of evolution, before we accept this theory, there's a couple of very basic and important questions that ought to be asked. Question number one, how was the first life produced? How did that first living organism come about? Science has clearly shown that life just does not happen spontaneously. Various scientists in some of the best equipped laboratories in the world cannot produce or create life, much less life that will crawl out of some primordial sludge pool. Okay, out of the primordial soup, if you will. They can't do it in the laboratories that are very equipped and everything controlled. So how did it all start? Where did it all begin and how? These are big questions and no one's been able to answer that. There have been speculation, I've mentioned this before, that actually alien life came down to Earth and planted some DNA strategically and life grew out from that. Understand, we've been spending billions of dollars looking for extraterrestrial life. We talked about that on our second session. But you see, in today's world, there are those who will come up with these weird and out-of-the-world explanations to keep from having to turn to a master creator without having to turn to God. Let's give those aliens a moment here. Where do the aliens come from? But we're not going to go there tonight. Question number two is, how did the first life form manage to develop into all the life forms we see today? When we consider all the different life forms, there are millions and millions of different life. How did a primitive life form crawl out of that primordial soup, change its DNA, growing into all the different life? From plant life to bugs to fish to reptiles, birds, mammals, and man. And you got everything in between, the insects and the various one-cell or multi-cell little germs and everything else that's out there. How do we do this? We're not talking about apes evolving into man, but how did all the millions of different life forms evolve? There was a book written a few years ago called Not by Chance. Not by Chance, and it's the title of a book by a Jewish PhD scientist named Lee Spetner. He was a university academic for most of his life. He's an expert in physics, biophysics, and information theory with a special interest in evolution. His book makes it clear that genetic mutation always lead to a loss of information. No mutation has ever been observed which leads to an increase of information or complexity. And it's absolutely essential to the theory of evolution that there have been a massive increase of genetic information. How did that happen? By accident. How did a life form pick up additional chromosomes? How did that happen? How did all this new information come in? And evolution say, well, it's been mutations by chance. for all those, you know, from one single cell beginning of life to all of these hundreds of life forms with their various distinctives and everything. How did that happen? The whole point of the theory of evolution is that a natural process, not a supernatural one, guided things. They said, well, maybe God guided it. No, the whole thing about evolution is that it's a natural process. And if God guided it, it goes clearly against His Word. That's not what God said. However, there's worse to come from the evolutionist point of view. Even if mutations and natural selection could cause genetic information and complexities to increase, this could not occur unless there was a cell and its genes existed in the first place. We can't create life. And so going back to those two statements, how did life even begin? And then how did it branch out into all of these much more complicated life forms? How did that happen? The simplest form of true life is a single cell organism. But even if you look into a single cell organism, they have discovered that the cell is a computer-like machine of staggering complexity. Staggering complexity and sophistication. It is many times more complex and sophisticated than any machine built by man. And we're just talking about a single cell, inside a single cell. New theory has come out. Well, if they can't evolve, can they de-evolve? Okay, we're talking, there are some theories out there that says maybe apes came from man. Okay, this is our chart in reverse, okay? Sounds like a bad sci-fi movie, you know? I saw a Star Trek once and where they all de-evolved and I had to give up Star Trek. And I love Star Trek. I love Star Trek. But that just... I'm sorry, I had to give it up with that. De-evolving, the way that each succeeding generations of a species is digressing into something lesser. And you see, there's actually maybe a little bit of truth. I'm not saying that we evolve into a different form, but considering man's decadent behavior, they may actually be onto something. You see, this is how evolutionists, looking at the same exact evidence, yet believing two complete opposite theories. How does that work? You see, the reason is simple. Two erroneous, two totally different, erroneous and contradictory conclusions can be reached from the same set of evidence if they began with the wrong basic assumption. And that's an assumption that is contrary to the truth of God. Once fossil evidence is viewed in the light of creation, in light of God's Word, the contradictions quickly clear up. However, evolutionists' new view in some ways is probably closer to reality. Remember one of the things that we discussed starting with that second session, and I brought it up numerous times, is that second law of thermodynamics. The second law of thermodynamics. And quickly stated, that means everything moves from a high energy state to a low energy state. Everything moves from a high order of organization to a low order of organization. The whole fact is, and we talked about this in the big scheme of things, the fact is the entire universe is dying. The universe isn't getting better, it's getting worse. It's winding down. And what makes us think that even us as humans over the past 6,000 years haven't degraded some? I don't believe we're as big, we're as healthy, or necessarily smarter than they were 6,000 years ago. You know, think about it. Look around. We have mutations. We have birth defects. We have diseases. We have all kinds of things that are out there that degrades us. Remember back before the flood, they lived 900 plus years. Today we're doing good if we can put on 80 to 90 years. We're not as good as they once were. Let's look at a group of people that this is interesting to look at. Let's look at the Mayans. The Lacandons of Central America, and I may not be pronouncing their name correctly, they're direct descendants of the Mayans, And today they live in total, very primitive conditions. The Mayans was once the civilization of all of the Americas. And the ruins of hundreds of cities reveal this incredible fact. From about 1500 BC to 900 BC, nation flourished. Their astronomers kept accurate records of the movement of the planets and stars. Their mathematicians gave us that concept of zero. The Mayans were intellectual giants of Central America. You remember the Mayans, the Mayan calendar, which actually ran out, was it in 2012 or something like that, and people thought that was going to be the end of the world. No, it just simply ran out. They only figured the calendar up that far. But their calendar was figured thousands of years in advance. But the walls of ruins reveal moral decay. They had human sacrifices to the various Mayan gods. To appease their gods, they slaughtered people by the tens of thousands. And when you read in your history books, the conquistadors coming over from Spain, and Cortez, and he came and he burned, raped, and pillaged, and he stole all their gold and everything. See, what he found was a decadent society that was already defeated. His job of conquering was not a hard task at all. And that was in 1570. But you see, their descendants aren't primitive, if you are, but they are showing the decadence of their society. Cortez and other conquistadors of that period had no problem looting the gold of the people of that era. They were already defeated because of moral decay. The Mayan people have not moved upward, but they moved downward in a long and tragic descent. You see, when man loses contact and loses touch with his Creator, who is the source of all truth, his mind becomes darkened and his ways become evil. Remember, we talked about that this morning. People are not basically good. The heart is wicked above all things. We read that this morning. The more evil a man grows, the more primitive he has become. Being primitive is a result of moral and spiritual degeneration of a group or a nation or of a people. There are people today that they want to go out and live in the woods and live primitive lifestyles in caves, who left civilization to go back to nature. They have simply rejected science and technology to live a life free from restraints. And whenever there is moral and spiritual degradation, the result will be decadence and the eventual collapse. We can go back and look at the Roman Empire, for instance. You know, you've read those things, you know, the collapse of the Roman Empire, what brought that on? Empty cities are the result of empty lives in the aftermath of a pagan society who people did not know their Creator. And there's a cure, and that is a people need to return to God. The fact, even if we looked at the history of America, you know, America was built on Judeo-Christian values, and Christianity is what held us up, and we became one of the greatest nations on earth, and we passed that hump, and we're on, well on our decline right now. The fact is, we're not becoming more advanced despite our technology. We are failing as a people, and in a sense, we are de-evolving, if you will. The theory of evolution is an attempt to define life without God. Evolutionism can be found at the very root of atheism, communism, relativism, and every form of anti-Christian practice. Dangerous and deadly social problems are deeply rooted in the purposelessness of materialistic evolutionism. Suicide, homosexuality, promiscuity, abortion, chemical abuse, that's just naming the obvious. Evolution has played a major part in influencing the way humans think of themselves. The problem of low self-esteem, animalistic behavior, and depression results from the feeling of meaningless. If I'm the result of evolution from a cosmic accident that have crawled out of a sludge pool someplace, what is my purpose in life? I have no purpose. And who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? I'm a cosmic accident. In the end, and this is what we conclude with, it comes back to the Word of God. Is this the Word of truth or not? You see, the plain reading, and here again, and I've told you this, especially in this study and things that I've gone through, I've become a more plain interpreter of the Word of God than I've ever been before. And the Word of God is true, and I've got to stake my very life on that. And whether or not science has proved, in fact, science has never disproved it, but where there's conflict between science and the Bible, I'll choose to stand on the Word of God and wait for science to catch up. The Bible's true, and here again, this is the purpose of this whole series, is to show that the Bible is true in all that it says, in all that it says. Is there any questions? This concludes our series. Any comments? Anything else to add? Now, let me go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Word. We thank you for the truth, and we thank you for Jesus. And Lord, regardless of what the world tells us, regardless of how they tell us and how convincing it seems, Lord, may we stand on your Word firmly and never waver, knowing that your Word is true and the rest of the world is mistaken. Lord, we keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who loved us so much that came to earth to take the penalties of our sins upon himself, that we might stand forgiven before you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you that we have hope eternal. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that all that we say and do will bring honor and glory to Jesus. For it's in his holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. And God bless you all. God bless you all.